top of the mountain, and I was very comfortable. And if you had asked me 6 years ago where I was going to retire, I would have said at HDCH. I was comfortable there. I wanted to be there. But then a whole bunch of things happened all in a short period of time. And I can't go through them all this morning, but it became very clear to me that God was calling me into the public school system. And I simply said, okay, I'll go. And so I went for the interview. That posting was up for 48 hours. They had 150 people apply in 48 hours for one job. And I thought, there's no way. I got asked to come for the interview, and I had no connections with that principal. He did not know who I was. He had heard about me, but did not know me. I went into the interview, I interviewed, and I couldn't believe it when I got the call the next day that I had got the job. I thought, fantastic, I've got a job in the public school system, and I accepted it and resigned at Hamilton District Christian High. What I didn't realize is that the school required something called a police check, a vulnerable sector check, a little bit different than a police check, a vulnerable sector check which required your fingerprints to be processed. I thought, no big deal, I'll get that done right away. What I didn't know is in Haldimand County, which I lived in, or still live in, at that time did not have electronic fingerprints available. You had to go in, get your hand stamped or inked, and they sent them in to Ottawa for processing, because that's the only place that you could do it. The RCMP had to clear your name. And I said, well, how long is that going to take? And they said, 2 to 3 months. And my principal had given me 3 weeks to get it. I couldn't believe it. Because I'd already resigned from HDCH, I'd already accepted the job, and now I was going to lose a job and have no job at all. I thought of all the things I could do, because in Hamilton here, they have the ability to take electronic fingerprints, and now we do in Haldimand County as well, and they'd be sent away and processed within a week. So I thought, this is simple. I'm going to call my friend Harry up, and I'm going to say, Harry, can I move into your basement legally? I'm going to change my address, I'm going to change my license, I'm going to change everything, and I'm going to go live in your basement, and I'm going to then, once I get legally living there within 2 weeks, I will get my vulnerable sector check the week after, and that will take 3 weeks, and I'll be done. I talked to my wife, and she reluctantly said, sure, let's do it. So I called Harry up, and I said, Harry, can I move into your basement? I explained the whole situation. He said, if it'll help you out, man, I'll do it. I got off the phone, and I talked to my wife, and I said, I can't. I can't do it. I said, because if God has given me the calling to come into the public school system, I have to have the faith that God is going to come through with me. I have to surrender my stick into his hands and say, God, it's yours. You do with it what you want. And I had tried a whole bunch of things, including calling a company in town here called the Legionnaires, who do a whole bunch of fingerprinting. And I had said to them, do you do vulnerable sector checks? And they said, sorry, no private company can do that. It's not allowed. Well, the weeks went on, and I can tell you, I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed because I didn't know where God was headed. I knew that there was no way this was going to happen without a miracle. It got down to a week before I had to get this done, and I said, God, what am I doing? I'm going to lose everything. All of a sudden, I get an email sent to my principal at the time, and he called me into his office, and he said, I just heard that there's something changing. He said, I think that they're going to give the private sector an opportunity to do vulnerable sector checks. So right away I got on the phone and I called the Legionnaires again and I said, listen, I'm just hearing now that the RCMP is changing their rules and you'll be able to do vulnerable sector checks. Can I get it done? And the guy said to me, there's no way. We've been trying for years to be able to do vulnerable sector checks. There's not a chance that that's going to happen. And I said, listen, please just call your superiors and ask the question. I'll call you back tomorrow. And I called him back and he said, I don't know what you've done. I don't know what's happened. But they are going to allow us to do vulnerable sector checks. He said, you are going to be the first person in Ontario ever to get a vulnerable sector check done. That's the power of God. That's God's timing coming through. That is taking a stick and laying it into God's hand. Did God want me in the public school system? You bet. I had my very first year, I had a terrible year. I had toughest kids I've ever taught in my life. Going from the Christian school system to the public school system, it's not easy. And I had a kid in my class who day after day I had to kick out and struggle with. But you know what I did? Instead of giving up on him, I fell on my knees every single morning and started praying for that kid. Over and over and over again, I prayed. And I still remember the day that he put his hand up in health class. We were teaching health, I think we were actually teaching about drugs. And he put his hand up in health class and said, "Mr. O, what do you think happens after we die?" And I was able to share my faith of what I think happens. And I said to the whole class, I said, "I'm not preaching here. I don't want you to go home to your parents. And I don't want you to tell them that I'm using this class to preach a message about the gospel. But he's asked, and I feel I deserve, or I owe him an answer." And I was able to talk about heaven, and I was able to talk about God that day in class. A couple years later, I was teaching a girls' class, and right in the middle of class, a girl puts up her hand and says, "Mr. O, does your religious beliefs have any influence on how you teach us?" And I looked at her and I thought, "Oh man, I'm going to get myself in trouble." And I said, "I have to be honest. It does." I said, I believe in the Bible. And I believe that God created everything, including us. And I believe that this book was made for our good. I said, "Think about this." I said, "If this world had no..." I said, "Do you know the Ten Commandments?" And she said, "Well, a few of them." I said, "Which ones do you know?" And she said, "Well, don't steal, don't lie, don't commit murder." I said, "Okay, let's take those. If this world had no stealing in it, if this world had no lying in it, if this world had no murder in it, what kind of world would we live in?" And she looked at me and she said, "An awesome one." And I said, "That is what I believe. I believe when we put the word of God into practice, we improve our world. We make the world the way it's supposed to be. And that's the power of God. He's the author of our faith. Why would he give us words, a word to us that would be for our detriment? It's for our benefit. It's the way the world's supposed to be. It's what we're supposed to live by. And it improves it. It doesn't make life miserable for us. It makes it better for us." And that girl, I couldn't believe it, about 2 months ago, walked into my church for the first time ever. God is able to do far beyond what we can imagine. And I've seen it over and over again. One of the weirdest ones, guy named Ben, he was a troublemaker. He had all kinds of problems with the teachers. He was always getting kicked out of class. He was always swearing and cursing. And I decided, I'm going to pray for Ben. And I just kept on praying for him. One day, I'm supervising the gym at lunchtime. He walks in, sits down beside me, and says, "Mr. O, I think it's time for me to go to church." That was it. I never talked to him about church. I never preached the gospel to him. All I did was simply pray for him. And God came through. And over again, I've seen why God has called me to the public school system, but it came back to the very beginning, where I simply said, "Here's my stick, God. It's yours. Do with it what you want. Do with me what you want." So that's the first lesson learned, is are you willing to let God use you just as you are? A.W. Tozer said this, "God is looking for those through whom he can do the impossible. What a pity that we settle only for those things that we can do ourselves." Secondly, I'm learning to be grateful for what I have. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. I want to read the same thing. I don't know if we had the PowerPoint gone off up there, but 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. I want to read it. If I can get it back here. It says this: "Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." I am learning to be grateful for what I have. You see, this verse is about timing. I want you to understand that. It's about timing. This verse is not saying give thanks for all circumstances. You don't have to be thankful for the things that you know are a result of sin, brokenness in our world. You don't have to be thankful for broken relationships. You don't have to be thankful for pain. You don't have to be thankful for someone doing wrong to you. God's not asking you to. God is saying, be thankful in all circumstances. And if you don't believe me, go back to the first three, right? When are you supposed to give thanks? Always. So when are you supposed to pray? Continually. The idea is give thanks in all things. For the last 3 years, I've had to learn how to live in pain. I was running a half marathon or training for a half marathon, and I, I stepped in a hole and really hurt my hip badly. And after trying to recover, I had to go to the hospital, and they did some, eventually did an ultrasound, MRI, and they found out that I have osteoarthritis pretty severely in my left hip. And 80% of the cartilage is gone, and the guys, the surgeon, said to me, you know what, you're going to be crawling in here in about 5 years, and we're going to have to replace that entire hip. And I was really frustrated by that, and I believe in a God that can answer prayer. So I was praying, and I was asking for prayer, and I really believed, and I was waiting for God to heal me completely. And it never happened. I remember sitting in a small group, and I asked my small group to pray, and the guy who prayed was praying, and he said, just like God touched Jacob's hip, touch Ron's. And after we were done praying, I said, you realize when Jacob wrestled with God, he limped the rest of his life. And the guy felt really embarrassed by that. But I said to him, I realized after, I think God was telling me that this hip may not be healed. But I don't have to be thankful for that. I have to be thankful in that. I got to be thankful through that. Because God can use me for things. God can challenge me to be thankful in all things. One of the things I learned through that was that I can be thankful in all circumstances. I live with pain. My hearing's starting to go. It seems like every single day there's something wrong with my body. But this is not the world that I was supposed to be longing for. This is not the world where I'm going to experience painlessness. This is a world of suffering. This is a world of pain. And God is simply asking me to learn to make the daily decision to be thankful in all things. Are we able to get that video up in the... No, it didn't work? Oh, okay. That's too bad. I had a video that I was going to play for you. I don't know if you've ever heard of the guy. The guy is named Nick Vujicic. Okay, so Nick Vujicic is now an evangelist, and he does a little thing on Oprah. You see, Rick Warren was on Oprah, and Rick Warren did an amazing message one day where he took out... he was on Oprah, and he took out some cards. Whoops. And he said to Oprah, he said, really, life is like a bunch of cards. And he said, you are born, you're given a certain hand in life. And I want to get this right. He said, you're given a hand, five cards to play with. And he said, the first one is our chemistry. He said, you're given a card, and that's your chemistry. That's what you're born with. That's the things that you've got to live with all the time. It's your biological makeup. You can't change that. You were dealt it. He said, secondly, you have circumstances. We all went through different circumstances in life, and those circumstances are things that we have, are the experiences we had as children, the experiences we had as teenagers, the things we experience every single day. Those things often we can't change. You're dealt that hand. He said, you also have connections, the people that are around you all the time, the family you were born in with, the friends, the co-workers, everything that you have around you, all the people around you, that's your card that you're dealt with. And he said that then you have your thoughts and feelings, the battles that go on inside your mind. That's another part of your life. It's the thing that is, you've been dealt with. But he said there's one wild card that we all have a chance to play. And he says it's your choice of what to do with it. He says when you have a bad hand, you can still decide to play. You can use it. You can deal with it. Because you've got the wild card to make the choice every single day. And then he brings Nick up. And if you know about Nick, Nick's got no arms and no legs. It's amazing to me that the guy is able to do what he can do. But he's now an evangelist, and Nick says it was a struggle. He tried to commit suicide when he was a teenager. I think it was a young, an older kid, I think 10 years old. He wanted to end life because he had no arms and legs. He was bullied. He was made fun of. He couldn't see himself living out life the way he was. But he said the day came when he realized that his parents had challenged him. It's amazing what his parents said. His parents said this to him. He said, you can either be angry for what you don't have or be thankful for what you do have. And I watched that story of Nick and I thought, how can I possibly not give thanks for what I do have in my life? The health that I do have. The things I can see, the things I can hear, the family I do have, the friends I do have, and most importantly, the Lord and Savior that has saved my life and given me the hope of eternal life. And it's amazing because I was watching a video of Nick preaching again, and he said in 2013, between the videos and his traveling around the world, he has visited 7 presidents and talked to them about the gospel. And in 2013 alone, he estimates he talked to 400 million people about Jesus Christ. There is no way he omits. He omits it. He was the same way as me. When he was younger, he prayed and prayed and prayed that God would somehow give him arms and legs. But he now omits that he knows that there is no way that he would have reached 400 million people with the gospel of Jesus Christ if it wasn't for the fact that he had no arms and no legs. It's amazing. We have that? Let's see if it'll play.
Arms or legs, 30-year-old Nick Vujicic has become a symbol of triumph against all odds. His inspiring YouTube videos have been watched over 100 million times.
It's a lie to think that you're not good enough. It's a lie to think that you're not worth anything.
But the road to self-acceptance was excruciating for Nick. For years, he was harassed and tormented at school. When he was 10, Nick attempted suicide. After years of feeling worthless and alone, Nick's awakening came while reading an article about a disabled man who refused to let physical limitations hold him back. In that moment, Nick says he discovered the power to take control of his life, and he has. Today, Nick surfs, he snorkels, he golfs, and plays soccer. He's traveled to 44 countries with his message of hope.
Even the worst part of your life can come together for the good.
And less than a year ago, Nick married the love of his life and danced at their wedding.
That you were able to do that.
Oprah, I know that you love to think out of the box and have things outside of the box in your show.
Yeah.
And I know that you love illustration. So if I may illustrate in about 180 seconds, can I do something a little crazy, but it'll be powerful?
Is
that
cool?
You got a camera behind me, right?
Yeah.
I got to show you. Come. This step right here, is there enough light here?
Okay.
The chemistry. I was born without arms and legs. The chemistry I could not change in my life. I know that God didn't give me this pain, but what the enemy tried to use for bad, he turned into good. Man, the connections. I want to tell Porsche. Look, I'm a guy, I love cars, okay? And I love Porsches more than Ferraris, okay? And I want everyone to know that we are wonderfully and fearfully made. And until you can actually understand that we are all wonderfully and fearfully made from God, I want you to know that you will always be trapped and chained and you will be stopped. But when you have the incredible power of faith in action, nothing holds you back. And you're beautiful just the way that you are. No worries. For me, I felt the connection.
Yeah.
For me, in my life, I'm thinking, man, I'm not going to get married. I can't even hold my wife's hand. What connection am I going to have? But you know what? All things come together for the good for those who love him. Man, this is a little bit high. I'm going to break my arm, man. This is pretty crazy. All right.
I'm going to break my arm.
Circumstances. Being born without arms and legs, man, it's all about choice. You asked me what it was. I had parents who were my heroes. They always said, you can either be angry for what you don't have or be thankful for what you do have. Do your best and God will do the rest. Then consciousness. Because I gave my life to Lord Jesus Christ and the renewing of my mind,
wow.
I knew that I could be unstoppable.
Born in Australia without...
That's amazing. You see, God doesn't see Nick the way the world sees him. God sees him as powerful. God sees him as effective. God sees him as a tool that he can use. He would have never been on Oprah showing millions of people his faith if he would have had arms and legs. And he's able to look back on that. Was it easy? No. Is giving thanks easy? No. It is not easy to give thanks for things in our life and in things in our life, especially when we're going through some tough times. But Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful." That word "be" means to bring into existence. To make the daily choice to be thankful for what you've got. for what you do have and saying, God, I'm going to give you thanks in all things. In all things, I'm going to give thanks, even when life gets me down, even when I'm struggling, even when I don't like my circumstances, I'm still going to give thanks in all things because I have a Lord and Savior that loves me, who has given me the hope of eternal life. And practicing gratitude has been shown to do a whole bunch of good for us. There's a guy named Michael McCulloch and Robert Emmons who, what they did is they did a study. They had the group do three different groups, do three different things. One of them, they kept a daily log of all that happened every single day with no focus. Then they asked another group to simply give gratitude for everything that they had in life. And then they had the other group, they decided to only record down the unpleasant experiences. What they found was the people who were grateful experienced less depression, less stress, were more likely to help others, exercised more regularly, and made greater progress toward achieving goals. In their studies, they decided that practicing gratitude increases our happiness by about 25%. Is it no wonder that the God of the universe who created us would tell us to be thankful? Because he knows not only is it the kind of attitude that we're supposed to have, it's actually better for us. It's better for us to practice gratitude and practice thankfulness every single day. And finally, the last thing I've learned, and I'm learning to live with hope. I want to encourage you to live with the hope of eternity in your hearts and in your minds. It's what God has been speaking to me about all year. I'm going to be honest, I've been really frustrated. At our church, we have been praying for a lot of people going through a lot of things, a lot of hard times. Cancer is one of the main ones, serious sickness. And it just seems to me over and over again that God has had different plans. And it's been frustrating because I know I believe in a God that can answer prayer. And sometimes I get very frustrated that God isn't answering the prayer the way I want him to. And so I had simply decided, I'm not preaching anymore, God. Until I see that you are going to start doing the things that I want you to do, I'm done. And I thought, okay, I'm not preaching anymore. That's it. I'm not going to churches anymore. And it was funny because about a week or two after that, I decided I'm not preaching this summer at all. I just lost your son's name, Wendy and Jeff. Jeff came up. I was going to call him Jason. I had Jeff come up to me and say, hey, hope you don't mind. I gave my mom your name as a possible speaker. And in my head, I'm thinking, yeah, I do, because I just told God I'm not preaching this summer, and now you've given my name out to ask me to speak. And then Joy called me up a couple weeks ago, and asked if I would speak, and I thought, man. And I had an out, because I was supposed to be doing some duties at church this Sunday. And I thought, okay, I'll give it a try. And if God kind of makes things happen, then I'll speak. And sure enough, God has me here this morning. Even though in my head I didn't want to do it, in my head I had said, okay, God, until you start standing up and doing what I want to do, what I want you to do, I'm done. But God literally said to me, what's in your hand? And who are you serving? Are you serving yourself, your own needs, or are you serving me? Are you taking your stick back? I don't consider myself a very good speaker. I'm always amazed that anyone ever wants me to come speak. But people ask me over and over again, I don't get it. But God simply says, I don't need you to be a good speaker. I'm just asking you, are you giving me your stick? And let me do what I want to do through you. And I want to encourage you to live a life of hope. To keep your eyes on the prize. And I want to go really quickly through these things. If you just flip the slides really quick. The next one is, what is that prize? Well, Revelation 21:3 says, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling place of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. A lot of people think that the prize is eternal life. Every time I read the Bible, it becomes very apparent to me that everybody lives forever. The only question is where. And our prize is we get the privilege of living eternally with the God who loves us, created us, and wants us to be with him. We get to live in that perfect relationship once again with our Creator. What else is the prize? Well, the prize is a life without pain. In Revelation 21:4, it says, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. There'll be no more pain in heaven. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to a good hip that's not replaced by a doctor. It's replaced by the great physician. It's funny, when Nick preaches now, he talks about a little boy who also had no arms and no legs, and him being introduced to him. And he said, one of the visions that God gave him is how the day in heaven's going to come when they will embrace each other. They will run to each other and say, how awesome is it to be in the presence of God? So not only is it the life with God, it's a life without pain. And the prize will be an amazing experience. Psalm 16:11 says, You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Heaven will be a place where we will experience joy and happiness the way it was meant to be. Everything we have on this earth is just a foretaste of what is to come. That word will means in the future, and that word fill means complete satisfaction. You will not be wanting anything anymore. You will have complete satisfaction in heaven. There's a guy named Don Piper who wrote a book, 90 Minutes in Heaven. He was in a car accident, and it's a great book to read. He was in a car accident. He died for 90 minutes. He talks about his experiences in heaven. It's a short book, but a good book. And something he said in his book just kind of floored me, because he describes heaven as this. I don't know if it's up there. I'll read it. Everything I experienced was like a first-class buffet for the senses. With all the heightened awareness of my senses, I felt as if I had never seen, heard, or felt anything so real before. And I want you to listen to this. Never in my happiest moments had I ever felt so fully alive. In heaven, each of our senses is immeasurably heightened to take it all in. And what a sensory celebration. I was home. I was where I belonged. I wanted to be there more than I had ever wanted to be anywhere on earth. That was his experience in heaven. He was saying that nothing on this earth compares. And once he was there, he didn't want to come back. That was home. You see, I want you to understand that living in this world is like living in a tent in front of a mansion being built for us. You see, when things are going well, we can have our marshmallows and we can cook our hot dogs. We're kind of happy living in our tent. We're kind of happy with spending some time with some family and friends, enjoying the camp, enjoying some nice starlight skies. But when the storms come, the tent isn't so fun anymore, right? We can't have our campfires. We're getting soaking wet. We can't sleep anymore. I don't know if anyone has ever been there before, but it's like that, right? Yeah. When the storm comes, you don't want to be in the tent. Our life that we live in this world is like living in that tent. When the storms of life come, and they will, we don't want to be in the tent anymore. We want to long for the mansion being prepared for us. And every time you go through those storms, I want you to picture your life as a tent on the front lawn, just waiting for that mansion to be opened up. Because that is what this life is. We get little pictures of what living in the mansion is going to be like. It's like that phone call that grandma gives 2 weeks. I have some kids, and grandma loves to have us come visit. And she makes that phone call about 2 weeks before Christmas. And you can just hear the longing in her voice that Christmas is coming and we're going to be visiting soon. Or it's like if you let your kids open up a Christmas Eve gift. It's a great gift and they're excited about it. But what does it really do? It makes them really excited for Christmas the next day. That's what the pleasures on this earth are like. They are just simply a foretaste of what is to come. When you feel happy, I can guarantee you, you're going to be a lot more happy. When you feel joy, I can guarantee you, you're going to feel a lot more joy. When you eat that good meal, I can tell you there's a lot better food coming down the road, right? When I play hockey, when I play golf, when I go fishing, it's only a foretaste of the pleasures that I'm going to experience in heaven, my home for eternity. And that prize gives me purpose. That prize keeps me focused. When I became a phys ed teacher, one of the things I struggled with was simply putting pylons in a field. I had to separate my field into two teams, and so guys could play each way. And I would sit there, and I'd put the pylons down, and I'd look back, and you would swear I was drunk, because the pylons were all over the place. And I thought, what is going on? Why can't I not lay? Because when I'm walking, it feels like I'm laying them down straight. But when I look back, I realize I was a mess. Isn't that funny? That's how it is when I live without God. I look back in my life and I think, oh my goodness, I'm making a mess of it. But when I have the hope of eternity in front of me, because what I learned is when you find something, I look at the tree or I look at the post. And then I follow that post, keep my eye on the post, and I lay pylons down like this. And by the time I get to the end of the field, I look back and it's a straight line. Because I kept my eyes on something in the distance. Living a Christian life on this world, keep your eyes on the prize. And when you're done, you're going to look back and say, I cannot believe that God used everything in my life to His glory, for His purposes. God has completed His task in me, and now I'm heading home. That's what the prize is like. So three things I hope you got out of today's message. Surrender your stick to God. Let Him do what He, it doesn't matter what you think. Moses thought there was no chance that God could use him. But he was just saying, give me your stick. Let me show you what I can do with it. Number two, choose to give thanks in all circumstances. Everything. Broken relationships, give thanks in it. Not for it. You don't have to give thanks for it. Give thanks in it. Realize that God is still with you and that you still have a lot of things going for you, including eternal life. Learn to give thanks in all circumstances, despite your pain, despite your problems, despite your suffering. Give thanks in it. And finally, live a life of hope for the prize that is yet to come. Take your eyes off this world. Keep your eyes focused ahead. And God will get you where you need to be. You're living in a tent. And your mansion is just down the road. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you are here this morning. We thank you so much that the power of God can change lives. And Lord, if there's anyone struggling right now to lay their stick down, to say, God, you take control, I pray you'll give them the courage to drop it and say, God, do with it what you want. If there's anyone here this morning that has been struggling with thankfulness and gratitude, they're living a life of misery, Father, help them to have the strength to make it a decision in their lives to every day choose to live a life of thankfulness in all circumstances. And Father, for all of us who go through suffering and pain, who are dealing with deteriorating bodies and struggling faith, help us to keep our eyes on the prize, realizing that the tent that we're living in is only a foreshadow of the mansion that is waiting for us. Help us to have our faith and trust in you, knowing that you're going to fulfill the purposes in our life, that you've got a great gift waiting for us, a great prize waiting for us at the end. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.